Stay tuned to that for Yomi as the Gemara in Gittin. We begin the brand new second perek. We're on Tes Vov, Omer Aleph, right in the middle of the daf, and we begin with the new Mishnah and the new perek. The Mishnah tells us what seems to be a chazara, which the Gemara will be the first question that they ask, exactly what we learned at the beginning of the first perek. And the Mishnah starts off and tells us, Hamevi get mi Medina Sayam, if a person brings a get, he's sent as a shaliach from the Medina Sayam from outside of Eretz Yisrael, not including Bavel, but all other places outside of Eretz Yisrael, where they were either not Bekim Lishma. We had the Shita of Rabbah, that the people in Chutz Laretz were not originally knowledgeable that a get had to be written Lishma, specifically by the husband for that particular wife. And, or, the Shita of Rabbah was also, in addition to his Shita that they weren't Bekim Lishma, he also was concerned that there would be Ein Edim Mitzuyim Lekaima, which was Rabbah Shita. Rabbah also held like that. So therefore, Chazal instituted the idea that when you're bringing a get from Medina Sayam, you have to say, Bifonai Nechta, Bifonai Nechta. And that's how we started off the first perek, the first Mishnah, and we spent a lot of time in the first perek discussing that. So now the Mishnah seems to reiterate at the beginning of the second perek that same din by telling us, Hanevi get Medina Sayam, if you're bringing the get from outside of Eretz Yisrael, not including Bavel, to Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to say, Bifonai Nechta, Bifonai Nechta, but you didn't. The Omar, if you said only, Bifonai Nechta, yes, it was written in front of me, however, Avolol Bifonai Nechta, but it wasn't signed in front of me. Or, you said, Bifonei Nechtam, it was signed in front of me, however, Abo lo Bifonei Nechtam, but it wasn't written in front of me. Or, you said, Bifonei Nechtam, it was written in front of me, Kula, all of it. However, or Bifonei Nechtam, only Chetzo, only part of it. Or, you said, Bifonei Nechtam, Chetzo, part of it was written in front of me, or Bifonei Nechtam, and all of it was signed in front of me, in all of these situations, because you didn't say, Bifonei Nechtam, for the entire Nechtav, the entire Nechtam part, so then, Pasul, it is not considered a valid get. The woman would not be considered divorced in such a situation. Now, again, this seems to be a reiteration, more or less, of what we learned, and the Gemara's first question will be, why are you telling this to us again? The Mishnah continues and tells us, Echad Omer, Bifonei Nechtav, if one person were to say, it was, in fact, written in front of me, and a different person, the Echad Omer Bifonei Nechtam, and a second person says, it was signed in front of me, this is also not good. Puzzle. Now we'll see in a moment, Rav Yehuda is going to argue with another part. Rashi brings down, Rav Yehuda argues with this part as well, and he says this is valid, because you bottom line have a person who says Bifonei Nechtam, and you have another person, albeit it's another person, who says Bifonei Nechtam. So Rav Yehuda is going to disagree over here and say that this is a valid get, as he will in the next part, and he just waits until both of these parts are stated before he comes in and says, no, this is a kosher get. So Rav Yehuda holds over here, this is a kosher get. The Tanakhama says it's a possible get because one person didn't say Bifonei Nechtam, Bifonei Nechtam. The rabbi set it up that one person has to say this is a special dispensation, but it has to be one person. It can't be two people, one saying Bifonei Nechtam and the other one saying Bifonei Nechtam. Next part of the Mishnah tells us, if you have Shnayim Omrim Bifoneinu Nechtav, you have two witnesses saying it was Bifoneinu Nechtav, and only one, the Echad, a different one saying Bifonei Nechtav, so in that situation, the Tanakhama also says it's possible, and here too, Rabbi Yehuda Machzir, Rabbi Yehuda says that it is a valid get, it is a good get, and as I pointed out, Rashi points out, not only on this case, but on the first case that we just said, Echad Omer Bifonei Nechtam, the Echad Omer Bifonei Nechtam, Rashi also says that Yehuda would say that get was good as well. So Yehuda argues on both of these two cases. He says the get is good, the Tanakhama says the get is not good. We'll explain a lot more about what's going on when we do the Gemara. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, Echad Omer Bifonei Nechtam, if one person says that the get is was written in front of me, Bifonei Nechtam, and then you have two witnesses that now say, Ushnaim Omrim Bifoneinu Nechtam, two witnesses say, it was signed in our presence, so then, that is a kosher get, and the obvious question, which Rashi says the Gemara will discuss, is, how come there's a difference in this case, that in the previous case, even according to the Tanakhama? Of course, it's not surprising, who didn't say it's a good get, but why does the Tanakhama over here say, that this is a valid get, when it was the other way around, he says it's not a valid get. Okay, so the Mishnah is a little bit enigmatic still at this point. I just read the words mostly and translated them and didn't really explain the svaras behind it, which now we'll do in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off with the first question and says, Ha su lamali. We learned the entire first parak that you must say Bifonei Nechtam, Bifonei Nechtam. Why are you reiterating that seemingly over here by saying if you didn't say Bifonei Nechtam, Bifonei Nechtam, if one witness didn't say that, so then we have the concerns of Rabbah, we have the concerns of Rava. And Rabbah, again, also is concerned like Rabbah was concerned. So why are you telling it to me again? We learned it on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We learned it in the very first Mishnah. Why are you telling it to us again? So Gemara says, if we only had the first parak, imeyahi, if we only had that requirement that you should say that, we would say that's lechatchila, but b'diavad it would be good. Imeyahi, if we only had the first mishnah and the parak, so then in the first parak, hava mina, I would have said, sorry, you're supposed to do this lechatchila, but the lo omar, but if you didn't go and say b'fani nechta, b'diavad it would be kosher anyway. Our Mishnah is coming to tell us. Here are examples where you didn't say it, and it's not kosher, even b'di'evit, kamash b'lon. That's the chiddush of the Tana of our Mishnah, in addition to what we already know is a requirement to do so, l'chatchila. Our Mishnah is saying that it's not even good b'di'evit. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, b'fonei nechtav chetzio. If the Tanakhama said, if the first person said, I was there for half of the writing, b'fonei nechtav chetzio. And then he says, but I did see the entire signature being done, so then that is possible. That doesn't fulfill the requirement of b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. So the Gemara says, wait a second, what are we talking about when he said b'fanei nechtav chetzo? What do you mean he was there for half of the ksiva? Hey chetzo, what are we talking about? Ilema chetzo rishon, if you're talking about the first part, now chetzo rishon implies all the ikker toref part of the get. The toref is the part that specifies that Reuven is Nebuch divorcing Sarah on such and such a debt. That's the Iker part. That's called the Toref. The rest of the part is called Tofes. That is the, you know, the general text that it means that you're going to be divorced. You're totally separated from me. You no longer are involved with me. All the general contextual things that a get implies. So those have to be written down as well. But they're standard. They're for everybody. The first part, which says that this person, Reuven, is divorcing this lady, his wife, Sarah. So that is called the Toref. Now, the Gemara says, which part did he testify that he saw b'fanei nechtav chetzio? If it was the first part, hey chetzio, which part did he see? Ilebo chetzio rishon. If he saw the Toref, if he saw the ikker part, so then, for Amar Rabbi Elazar, we learned already in the first parak, we had this on daf, hey, daf vav. So we said over there that if you even if you only saw one line, meaning that one critical line, the Toref, the part that says that it was Reuven divorcing Sarah, so then, as long as you saw at least that, Eloshita achas lishma, shuv einot sarach, then even if you didn't see the rest, it would be perfectly valid. So how can you tell me over here, and funny nechtav chetzio was no good? We had said already, funny nechtav is good if you saw at least Shita Achas, and now we're understanding that Shita Achas meant a little bit of the Torah. And as long as you saw that, Shuvei no Tzarech. And now some of you may be remembering, we had learned on Daf Vav that it said, Afilu Bikan Migilosa, Afilu Vikan Kulmosa Sagi. That would be fine even if you weren't seeing it directly, you just heard the scratching. So Rashbai asked this question. He says, what are you talking about that you have to b'fani nechtav chetzio, even if you just heard the scratching? So the Rashbai explains very beautifully. He said that when we were talking about that you heard the scratching, that you heard the ikker scratchings. You heard the ikaro shogate, shebo shema ish, v'shema isha, v'azman. And the Rashbai says, this is also the opinion of the Rabbeinu Chananel. So when you heard the scratching, afilu shama kan kulmasa o kan megilasa, it has to be that you heard the scratching of the Toref, and that would be fine. So again, bottom line is, even the scratching, and certainly seeing part of the Toref being written, that's adequate. So how can you tell me over here, b'fanei nechtav chetzio was no good? So Gemara says, obviously what we're talking about is el amar vashi chetzio akron. He didn't see the first part. He only saw a part of the Tofes being written. He only saw a little bit of the second part, the general contextual things that the get has to say. What does a get mean? That this is, you're totally divorced from me, you have no connection to me. So if you saw that, that's not enough. You have to see at least part of the Toref being written. So that's why the Mishnah says, if you only saw b'fanei nechtav chetzio, meaning I only saw a part of the Tofes being written, I didn't see the Iker part in even a small part of it, Ilashita Achas being written, so then it is no good. Let me quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, B'fanei nechtav kulo, if you did see the entire writing, however, u'b'fanei nechtav chetzio, but you only saw half the signature, so then pasul, then it's no good. So Rav Chisda now comes to add his own opinion over here. Amar Rav Chisda says, This is true. Va'afilu shnayim me'idin al chasimus yad sheni. This is true that you only saw half. You saw one signature, and even if there are two witnesses that come along and say about the other signature that was signed, so then puzzle, it still is no good. You need one person to say b'fanei nechtav and one person to say b'fanei nechtam. And if the b'fanei nechtam was one person saying it on one signature, and then you have two witnesses saying it on the other signature, puzzle, it is no good. Now, why not? My timer. What's Rav Chisda's reasoning? So the Gemara says, either o kulo b'kiyum haget, o kulo b'takonas hachamim. You have to do it 100% the same way to authenticate the get. Either you take the standard two witnesses, and you need two witnesses for this signatory, and this two witnesses for that signatory, and therefore you mekayim the get in the normal way that you mekayim a shtar, or you can take advantage of the special takana that the chachamim did, because either aid the mitzuyim bo, or because aid mekiyim lishma, and you can have the one witness, o kulo b'kiyum haget, Okulo b'takonos chachamim. You need one way of doing it, either the standard way with two witnesses on both, or one person coming to say b'fanei nechtam, but not half and half. That's Rav Chisda's addition to our Mishnah. Rava doesn't like this. Maskev lo Rava. Rava says, wait a second, how could that possibly be? You're telling me if one person says b'fanei nechtam, it's good. That's the takonos chachamim. But if one person were to say b'fanei nechtam half of it, and then two witnesses come along and say the other signatory is a good signatory, you can't combine the two. Mika midi, how is it possible to have such a thing? The ilu amar chad kasha. If one person were to say, yeah, this second witness is also good, the first witness is good, that's b'fanei nechtam, and then he says the second witness is also b'fanei nechtam, that would be good. So one witness, the ilu amar chad, that would be kasha. But now, you're telling me, hashto the ikur trei, if two come along, albeit two different ones come along, so then puzzle, then that would be no good. Rabbi says it makes no sense. Why can't you combine the two different ways of authenticating the shtar? One would be b'kiyum haget, two witnesses, and the other one is b'de takanas chachom, b'fani nechta. So therefore, Rabbi says, I disagree with you, Rav Chisda. And therefore, I darshin as follows. El amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, afilu, when we turn to tezvav amibayz, afilu, who, the acher, me'idim achasim asiyad sheni, puzzle. So Rava comes and says, I agree with your qualification to a certain extent, that if it's the same witness that says half of it I said before the nechtam, and the other half I'm combining with another witness, a kosher witness, to say about the second testimony that is so-and-so signature that would normally authenticate a gate with two people saying that that's a kosher signature, here Rava says that's puzzle. Why? What's Rava's reasoning over here? Why is this puzzle? He disagreed with Rav Chisda in Rav Chisda's example. Why does Rava say this is puzzle? My taima, because asu li chalufe. You know what? People are going to mistakenly think that you could have a shtar authenticated with one witness on one signature and then another person combining with that witness on a different signature. And b'kiyum shtar is the alma. It's going to lead people to mistakenly think that this one aid, he authenticated one witness. So he basically authenticated 50% of the document. And then he, that same witness, comes along with a different witness and authenticates the second signature. So each of them, so to say, did half of the second signature. So that's half of the half of the second half that needed to be authenticated. So he basically did this single witness 100% of the first witness, and he does 50% of the second witness. So if you add it all together, so he did the first half, he did 100%. The second half, he did 50%. So altogether, he did 75% of the shtar by a single witness. And therefore, the Gemara says, we're concerned, according to Rava, b'kiyum shtar is the alma in general. People are going to think, b'konofik, that you could be authenticating a shtar with one person, nochi rivo de mamona apumo de chatzada, that you could have one witness over here basically doing 75% of the authentication. He did 100% of the first witness, so that's 50% of the total testimony that needs to be given. And he did 50% of that second witness. He did half of the second witness, so that's the other 50%. He did half of it, that's 25%. So he did the entire first 50%, and he did half of the second 50%, so that's 25% of the total. So one witness essentially authenticated 75% of the get, and the other witness only authenticated half of the half, so he did only 25%. And you mistakenly may think that a single witness would be acceptable if he does 75% of the authentication, and the other witness did 25% of the authentication. No, what you need to have is two witnesses each doing the half that they're entitled to do. So you need two witnesses each doing 50% of the total authentication. So therefore, Rava says that's no good because it could lead to a mistake in a regular shtar, because it looks like one person is actually authenticating 75% of the total authentication requirements of the shtar rather than the two witnesses each doing 50% of the total authentication. However, Rav Ashi doesn't like Rava's answer. Maskevel Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says the same question that you had on Rav Chisda, I have on you. How could it possibly be? Mi ikon midi. How is it possible? The ilu, if in fact, maskele ilu lukule dibura, that if the single witness had said, befani nechtam, both witnesses, so he's doing 100% by one person, that would be kosher. So now, just because he did 75% and another witness did 25%, that's no good. Hashtod ika chad badei, puzzle. How does having another witness make it worse? So that's Rav Ashi's question on Rava, which is similar to Rava's question on Rav Chisda. So therefore, Rav Ashi says, I don't like what you said, Rava. And in fact, this is how I would interpret the Mishnah. El Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, this is my addition to the Mishnah, so to say. Afilu Omer, even if one witness says, Anihu Eid Sheni, I was the second witness. I'm saying, Befani Nechtav, the first witness, I saw him sign. And by the way, I'm the second witness. So that, Rav Ashi says, is no good. That's Rav Ashi's addition to the Mishnah. Rav Chisda added something to the Mishnah, which Rav rejected. Rav added something to the Mishnah, which Rav Ashi rejects. And now Rav Ashi adds to the Mishnah the following. He says, if that one person who authenticated the first witness, that Shaliach who authenticated the first witness, says, by the way, I'm the second witness, puzzle. It's no good. Why? My timer. Because Okula b'kiyama get, Okula b'takonis chacham. Because Rav Ashi says it has to be 100% done by the takonis chacham, which is one person saying b'fani nechtam, or you need two witnesses authenticating everything, but you can't combine these two ideas. Again, all of them are similar. They're each coming to add on an additional din to the Mishnah based upon their ideas. However, Rav Chisda's idea, Rav Ashi rejects it because he says it's impossible to say that that is no good, because if it was good by one person, how could a second witness come along and make it worse? And similarly, Rav Ashi rejected Rava's understanding for the same reasoning. And now Rav Ashi gives his understanding that it's because this one person is basically doing both. And here, you need to have either Kula B'Kiyama Get or Kula B'Takonis HaChamim. Now Tosos and the top Tosos asked the question that many of you may be thinking. The exact same question that Rav Ashi asked on Rava, and that Rava had asked on Rav Chisda, you can ask on Rav Ashi as well. V'im Tomar, the top Tosos, Umi Ikomidi, the Ilu Omar, Befani Nechtam Kosher, Umishum De Omar, Aniyu Eicheni, Posel? So again, the same question is, how can it possibly be that having a additional witness makes it worse? So here, he's like an additional witness. How could that be worse than him saying, Befani Nechtam, for him to say that I was the witness? So Tosos answers, the Nir Liri, Kimosho maybe Yushami, he brings down from the Yushami the same idea, the Chiyomer Anihu Eid Sheni, when he testifies about the first witness, and he says, Befani Nechtam, and then he says, and I was the second witness, Anihu Eid Sheni, Nase Kinogeya Beeduso. It looks like he is now a Nogabadaber, he is partial. The Nira, Tosus continues, the Lekach Bo Lohoid Al Chasima Sasheni, Kadesha Tiskayim. It looks like when he was testifying about the first signature, he had an agius to it. He was wanting to say, look, and my signature is there, so it is a valid get. And how do I know it's a valid get? Not because I signed it, because I'm also saying that he was a valid signatory. So therefore, that's why Rav Ashi says that this case is no good. But he would agree with the idea that how could it be that a second person normally comes along, like Rava had wanted to suggest, and Rav Chisda wanted to suggest, to make it worse. He says, that can't be. The second person can't make it worse. Here, it's only because he's an Ogeya B'Dover that it's no good. Okay, that's Tosus's teretz to this question. The other teretz of my other Rishonim, Ayin Sham. Now, the Gemara says, Tanah, we learned in our Mishnah, Bifanei Nechtav Kulo. We said that if the person says, yes, I saw the entire ksiva, however, I only saw part of the chasima, that is no good. So Gemara says, Ida chetzo hechidami. And exactly what happened with the other half? Somebody has to say something about the second half. What are you saying here happened that makes it possible? And the Gemara is going to suggest the following, and then it's going to say that can't be. Elema, if you're going to tell me the leka, the komaset ale klal, that there is no witness at all coming about the second signatory, so then, hashta, echad omer b'fonei nechtav, the echad omer b'fonei nechtav, the kai komesai da kula ksiva, the high komesai da kula chasima, is possible if in the case where one person did testify about the entire ksiva and another person testified about the entire chasima, that was no good. And you have essentially two people, two different people, each testifying respectively about 100%. And if that's no good, so then what would be the hava meaning to say over here? That if one person testified about half and nobody else testified about the other half, would you need to tell me that that's no good? Of course it's no good. If you had a different person testifying about the whole thing, it's no good. So how could you think for a second that if you didn't have anybody testifying about the second half, that that would be good? So obviously, the Gemara rejects that and says that can't be it. Ella, what must it be? What was the scenario over here that Nechtam Chetzio, that's possible? Elo, the Gemara says, Olchi de Rava, either you understand like we just did with Rava, that it looks like one witness is really testifying 75% when the second witness comes along and only testifies about one witness, so he's really only giving half of the half. And therefore, the Shaliach, he's testifying 100% of the first witness and half of the second witness. It looks like he's giving 75%, as we just said. So that's what the Chiddush is over here. Olchid Ravashi. Or it's like Ravashi wanted to say that when the person goes and says the second signature is his own, he says, I was the second aide. So he, in that situation, is essentially doing both. He's doing the authentication system and he's doing the Takanas Chachamim. So therefore, this seemingly unnecessary addition to the Mishnah, this Yesera part, is either coming to teach us the din of Rava or the din of Ravashi, Lafuke, as opposed to Lafuke midi Rav Chista, to exclude that which Rav Chista had suggested. So how would Rav Chista respond to this? So I'm going to Rav Chista would say no. And according to Yul Taimech, when it said, Bifanei Nechtar, when I was there for the Ksiva, I wasn't there at all for the Chasima, Lomeli, what do you need that for? Because, after all, if you have, when he saw half the signing, it's no good. So certainly if he saw none of the signing, it's no good. So that's also Yesera according to you. Who is that coming to be? Mechadesh. What's the reason for that? So that doesn't work according to Rava, and that doesn't work according to Ravashi either. So just like they have a problem with that Yesera, so therefore I will answer, I also don't have a problem with the Yesera. None of us have a problem with the Yesera. You know why? Because Ella, lo zu avzuk tani. The Mishnah was written in a certain style, which we find many places, where the Mishnah tells us first the more makel din, and says that that is true. That is also in our case. And then it tells us, and even in the following situation, avzuk tani, even in this more machmer case, it was also no good. And therefore, you technically, if you just had had the second case, you would know the first case is certainly also no good. So this is a style called lozu. It didn't have to tell me the first case, avzuk tani, but it taught me the first case, because it wanted to have the style over here. It tells you the easier case, and then it tells you the more stringent case, and that's the style of the Mishnah that we have all over the place. Lo zu, not only in this case, avzu, even in this case, tani, and therefore, hachanami, this is a style over here in the Mishnah. You can't say it's Yesera, because if you're telling me my case is Yesera, and therefore I'm wrong, so then the same question could be thrown upon you, Ravashi and Rava, and therefore, hachanami, lo zu, avzu, tani, this is a style that the Mishnah has, and therefore, the fact that there's a quote, Mishnah Yesera over here, doesn't bother me, doesn't bother you, and therefore my Shita is just as correct as you're saying your Shita is. Now, along comes Rav Chisda to say another thing. Amar Rav Chisda, this idea that you can combine the two different methods of authentication, one the standard authentication method with two witnesses, and the special Takonas Chachamim of Bifanei Nechtam, that Rav Chisda and Rava and Ravashi said you can't combine these two. So Rav Chisda says this similar idea that you can't combine two ways of doing something applies in other dinim in the Torah as well. For example, you have Gidud Chamisha Umechitza Chamisha. We have a din that something to be called a Rishus HaYochid, it has to have a Mechitza around it of at least 10 Tvachim in order to enclose a certain area. So what happens if you have a well, let's say, and you dig down into the ground 5 tefachim, and then you build a wall up around the well that's 5 tefachim tall. So all in all, from the bottom of this well to the top of the surrounding wall that you built around this well, there's a total of 10 tefachim. So this would have the status of being a Rishus HaYachid. It's not just a hole in the ground in the Rishus HaRabim. So this is considered a significant amount if you had 10 tefachim. But not, according to Rav Chisda, if it was a combination of 5 going down and 5 going up. Ein mitztarfet. You need to have either 10 going down or a built-up wall of 10 tefachim around it. You cannot be mitzarev, the gidud chamisha, the digging down 5 tefachim, combined with the mechitza, the building it up of 5 tefachim. So Rav Chisda says that's exactly like our situation. You can't combine the standard 2 witnesses authentication with the special dispensation of b'fani nechtam. So you can't have one witness with one way and one witness with the other way. So too, to make this 10 tefachim mechitza around the well, let's say, around some sort of an enclosure, you can't combine the two and have 5 dug down and 5 built up. It needs to be either 10 dug down or 10 built up. That's what Chisda Shita, parallel to what we said over here. Ache kulo, o mechitza, o kulo begidud. Ache o kulo b'mechitza, o kulo begidud. Fine. So Gemara says, not everybody agrees with that. Darish Mereimar says, no. Perfectly acceptable. You need to have 10 tefachim. We don't care how you got it. Any combination, 5 and 5, 7 and 3, all perfectly good. Gidud chamisha or mechitza, chamisha or mechitza, hey, mitztarfin. This is perfectly good. This is a 100% acceptable 10 tefachim mechitza, combining the two different ways of doing this, one digging down, one building up, and that is perfectly acceptable. It's not analogous to our Mishnah with the case of you can't combine the Takanas HaChamim with the standard authentication of a shtar, 2 witnesses. How do we pass the Gemara says, by the way? Do we pass it like Rav Chisda or do we pass it like Mereimah? So the Gemara says, Hilchos of Mitztarfin. No, the bottom line is, in regards to a Mechitza, we don't care whether it was 10-0, it was all dug down or all built up, or it was 5 and 5 or any other combination. The bottom line is, as long as from the bottom to the top there is a mechitza of 10 tefachim, it's a perfectly valid mechitza. You can close that area, it's now Rishus HaYochid. Okay. Mark continues and says that Ilfa asked the following question. Boy, Ilfa is a great Amora that we have in a number of places, that he was a Talmud Chaver of Rav Yochanan, and that Rav Yochanan and he were going to go off into the business world, and Rav Yochanan heard a bas kol that said, you better stay in the base medrash, you'll become Rav Yochanan. And Ilfa didn't hear the bas kol. Rav Yochanan stayed in the base medrash, Ilfa went off into business. Afterwards, people told him he was greater than Rav Yochanan. He said, if you had gone back to the base medrash, you would be the God of Ladar instead of Rav Yochanan. So Ilfa said, I didn't lose anything by going into business. I still learned Torah, I still learned to the maximum. And we find in many places, Ilfa would say, anybody that can stunt me, I'll jump off this mast of a ship. In any event, Ilfa was a great Amora, and he asked the following shaila, Boy Ilfa, Yodayim Tahoros Lechatzoyim, O Ein Tahoros Lechatzoyim. Similar vein that we've been discussing, can you combine two methodologies over here? So Ilfa asks, can you combine to be Matar Yodayim, doing it in two different methodologies to make the hands tar? Yodayim Tahoros Lechatzoyim, O Ein Tahoros Lechatzoyim. If you did it in this halfway, which we'll explain in a moment what that means, can it become tar or not? So Gemara says, what are we talking about, Ilfa, that you did it in a halfway methodology? Hechidami. Elam, if you're telling me the Kamashu Beitre Mirevius, if you're telling me that one person, Ruvain, came along and poured a revius of water onto both Shimon and Levi simultaneously, is that your question? Yadayin Taurus Lechatzoyim, each of them gets half the water. You only had a revius of water, and you poured it on both Shimon and Levi. So Shimon, so to say, got half of the revius, and Levi got half of the revius. Is that your question? Is that good or not good? That's been asked and answered already. If two people washed their hands from one revius, the Gemara said, we learned already from the Mishnah Yadayim, and this is in Gemara's and Brachos and Chulin, that this is perfectly good, but it's not. We learned that you need a revius to wash your hands, and one person can wash his hands with a revius, but even two people simultaneously can wash their hands with a revius. And therefore, that can't be Ilfa's question. Ilfa knew all the Mishnayis. He was a great Amora. The Amoraim knew all the Mishnayis. There's no way he didn't know that Mishnah in Yadayim. So that can't be his question. No. What was his question? Maybe the Elo, they called Moshe Chodo Chodo Yodei. A person washed his right hand, and then he interrupted. He didn't do anything right away. And then subsequently, he washed his left hand a little bit later. Is that considered acceptable or not? That was Ilfa's question. Where it says again, that can't be. But not, because we learned. Now, this is normally the lashon that we use for a Mishnah, and it says on the side that according to Rashi, Legirsus Rashi, Tzorach Lomar, Vehotanya, that this is in fact a Braisa. Now, Besaros Hashas and the Sari points out that Legiris is Rabbeinu Tam Shaper Garsinu Vatan, that this is a Mishnah. The Hachnoto Yodo Achas Mishtifa Achas He Mishnah Aleph in Perik Beis Diadayim. So again, it's Machlokus Rashi and Tosfos over here exactly what this Rai is. Rashi says it's from a Braisa, Tosfos says it's from a Mishnah. In any event, the Rai is as follows: Hanoto Yodo Achas Binetila V'Achas Mishtifa. If a person did his right hand with Netila, he did Netila Siadayim on his right hand, and then he did Shetifa, he stuck his hand into a kosher of mikvah. So one hand he did with Netila, and one hand he did with Tevila, Shatifa, so you are the Taurus. That's perfectly fine. So that can't be Ilfa's question as well, because it's a Beferish Mishnah or a well-known Brisa that Ilfa would have known, and therefore there is no question that that's what Ilfa asked. So that's not his question. So what did Ilfa ask? Half and half. Is it good or is it not good? Shmuel says, try again. Bela, the Komashi, Palga, Palga Diode. He did his hand, one hand, in two parts. So we said if you do your right hand and then you do your left hand, that's good. What happens if you did half of your right hand and then you waited and then you did the other half of your right hand? Can those two washings combine to be a complete tahara of your right hand? And then you do the same thing with your left hand. Ve'ela, the komashi, palgo, palgo, the other. He did half of one hand and then he did the other half of that same hand. Can those two washings combine or not? Morris says, if that's the question, it's also asked and answered already. For Amre, the Rav Yannai, they learned the base manager Rav Yannai, your dayim ain't tahoros lechatzoyim, that does not work. You can't go and do half of your right hand and then wait and then do the other half of your right hand. So that can't be Ilfa's question. Morris says, oh, maybe it is. There's a way to still say that that's the question, because Lo Tzricha, maybe Ilfa was asking because the Ika Mashke Tofeach. When we had learned that that's no good from the base medesh Rav Yannai, that's when you washed half your right hand, and then it became totally dry. And then you did the other half of the right hand. So can you combine those two or not? That clearly you can. But what happens if the half of the right hand that you washed first is still wet? It's Tofeach. It still is wet. So therefore, the Ika Mashke Tofeach, if you were to touch that hand, you would feel the wetness. So is that now considered still wet enough that when you do the second half of the hand, it would be considered a valid netila or not? That's Ilfa's question. So Gemara says, "I v'chi'ika mashke tofeach my habi." How is that a question? So let's say that there still was some water over there, that it was enough that you would feel that it was moist, it was wet. That doesn't help us at all, my habi. How does that help us? Well, it's not, because we learned in the following Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Taharos, as we turn to Tezayin Amar Aleph, it tells us there, hanitzok, if you have a flow of water, kiluach, Rashi says, so you're pouring from container A into container B. So this flow of water, does it connect container A to container B? Vakatafras, so katafras is when you have water running down a slope, Rashi says, vakatafras, har mishupa, you have a sloping mountain, and shemadrono, the slope down, mechodet harbe, it's a steep slope, and the water is flowing from the top to the bottom, and there's a flow of water. So does that connect the top to the bottom? Or you have mashke tofeach, or you have liquid that's still there, enough liquid that could go and moisten. So does this connect the two areas? Ain't no chibur. Neither the nitzok, neither the katafras, nor the mashke tofeach, that is not considered a valid connection. Not in regards lo l'tumah, not in regards to the halachos of tumah. So if the top is tahar and the bottom is tameh, it won't send the tumah back up the nitzok, the katafras, or the mashke tofeach. And for lo l'tara. And if you were trying to be matara something, it wouldn't connect it as well. Rashi explains, this tara is le'inyan mikvos. If you have two mikvos over here, shnei mikvos, she'en b'yechem in arbaim saw, neither one has 40 saw in it. So one has 20, the other has 20. And then you have some sort of a connection between them. You have a nitzok, you have pouring of the water from one mikvah to the other one, or the katafras, the water is flowing down from one to the other, or you have a mashke tofeach in between. So none of these would connect the two mikvos over here. Ain't no chibur. So, again, asked and answered. That can't be Ilfa's question, because this Beferish Mishnah in Taharos, which Ilfa knew, answered that question. So one says, no, maybe this was Ilfa's question. Lo tzricha, diika tofeach lehatfiach. Maybe he's talking about, when did we say that the mashke tofeach is eino chibur, lo letum of lo tahara? That's when it wasn't wet enough. You could feel that it was wet, but it wouldn't moisten something else. But what happens if it was wet enough, diika tofeach lehatfiach? It was wet enough that if you touched it, you wouldn't only feel that it was wet, but it would actually impart moisture to the second thing. Maybe Ilfa would say, in a case where it's not tofeach al menas latviach, then it's eino chibra lo letumah lo tahara. But what happens if it is tofeach al menas latviach? Maybe it is, in that situation, a chibur letuma and letara. Maybe that's Zilpah's question. Where it says again, that can't be it. Hanami tanina, we learned that as well. Which says beferish, tofeach lahatviach is a chibur. So that would be a good connection, both letuma and letara. So again, we're stuck. Ilfa knew the answers to all these potential questions that we said. So what, in fact, was Ilfa's question? Now, I know we're done, so to say, with the Dafa today, but we're in the middle of the sugya, so I'm going to go a little bit further. We'll actually go pretty far down to Tezayin Amud Aleph's end. So, the Gemara says, maybe this was Ilfa's question. Dilma le'inyan mikvos. Maybe his question was, can you have this half measure of one, half measure of another, and combine them or not combine them? Maybe his question was in regard to mikvos. The Rabbi Yehudi, and this goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. As Rashi explains over here in Dibra Maskel le'inyan mikvos, the Rabbi Yehudi he mishum good ochis. There is a principle of good osik and good ochis. Can we view something as going up or something going down? So let's see inside the Gemara and see what this says. For Yehuda, this goes in accordance with the opinion of Yehuda, which is a Mishnah in Mikvos. It's not. It says over there in the Mishnah Mikvos, Mikvah sheyesh bo arboim sa michuvanos. You have a mikvah that has exactly, b'tzimtzum, 40 sa. So a kosher mikvah, but it's bidiyuk, 40 sa. If you take out a couple of drops, it's going to be no longer a kosher mikvah. Now what happens? The yardu shnayim v'tovlu. You have two people going down into the mikvah. So while they're both in the mikvah, it's not a problem. And we have in parentheses over here, which on the side it says that you should erase this, but it is not wrong, so it may not be part of the girsa here, but we'll say it anyway. Shnayim bevas achas tahorv. If they both go into the mikvah simultaneously, so then it is a perfectly valid kashura tvila for both of them. Now, that's not our concern right now. Our concern is with the next scenario's case. Bizeh achar zeh. However, let's say you have Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven went into this kosher mikvah with 40 sa in it. He goes in first. So he's tovel. He's 100% kosher. No problem. Now he comes out. But he takes some of the water with him. So when he leaves the mikvah no longer has 40 sa. The mikvah now has 39.98 sa because he has some drops of water. He has water on his body. He took out of the mikvah. So when you have Reuven going in first, Reuven is tar, Rishon tar. However, now Shimon goes into the mikvah, it's no longer 40 sa, it's 39.98 sa. And therefore, Vasheni tame, the second person is tame. That's the din. Everybody agrees to that. Rav Yehuda qualifies, however. Rav Yehuda omer, it depends. Im hayu raglov shel Rishon nogos b'mayim af hasheni tar. Rav Yehuda says that if the first person, Reuven, has not left the mikvah totally, his feet are still touching the mikvah, so he's on his way out, his foot is still in the mikvah. In that situation, all the water in his body is still connected to the mikvah. And therefore, when Shimon goes in, the mikvah is not 39.98, all the little bit extra water that prevents the mikvah from being 40 sa, that 0.02 of water that is on Reuven, is considered halachically connected, mechubar, to the mikvah, because since Reuven's foot is still in the water, and all the water on him is therefore considered connected to the water, so therefore when Shimon goes in, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ima yiraglov shorisho nogus b'mayim af hasheni tar, so too would Shimon be tar, that'd be a valid tefillah in the mikvah. Based upon this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, now we can go back and say, when the person washed half his hand, so if in fact that half of the hand was still wet, and you could therefore connect the water that was on the first half of the right hand that he washed to now washing the second half, so this was Ilfa's question. Based upon Rabbi Yehuda's sheet in Mikvos, do we say the same thing? When you have half of the hand washed and there's still water on it, can that water still be connected from the first half washing of the hand to the second half washing of the hand? Ilfa's question is, do we apply Rabbi Yehuda's rule to the case of the washing of the hands or not? The Gemara doesn't give an answer to this. But that was Ilfa's question. The Gemara continues and asks, Amar Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Yirmi says, Hari Amru, Chachamim has said that after you go to a kosher mikvah and be told by yourself, you can't go and rinse yourself off in a non-kosher mikvah, because it would look, people would mistakenly think that it wasn't the mikvah was matar you, but it was in fact this mayim she'uvim that was matar you. So therefore the Chazal said, Hari Amru, the Chacham said, Haba rosho v'rubo b'mayim she'uvim. If after a person went to the mikvah, he's tar. And as Rashi says, k'shu tar, after that, he goes and goes b'mayim she'uvim b'sochakli. He pours water upon himself. So this situation, Rabbi Yirmiyah tells us, the rabbis instituted the gzeirah, which we'll see in Rashi in a moment, that I already alluded to, that the rabbis were concerned that the people would mistakenly think that it's this mayim shuvim that made you tar. So we'll see the side in Rashi in a second. Furthermore, even a tar person, he didn't go to the mikveh now, he just was tar. If shenov la'arosh la'arubo, if it fell upon his head and most of his body, shlosh alugu mayim shuvim, so he basically took a shower. In that situation, the rabbis instituted a tumah derabbanim on him, tameh, for the following reason. Rashi explains, in Dira Masul tameh, that they said that this person can't eat truma. He was considered tar, tameh mi derabbanim for truma, unless, until he goes, achi yitbol, until he goes to the mikveh again. And this is one of the famous gezeres they made, the Shmona Asur gezeres they made, the Gemara in the first perek in Shabbos. And it says, Mefarish, my timer, why did the rabbis do this? So goes there, Olea, the rabbis made this two gezeres over here. The first one, that you came out of the mikveh and you had mayim shuvim poured upon you, you become tamei in regards to truma midrabanan. And then they added a further gzeira that even if you were tar and you went into the shower, you had this rosh rubo shlosh lugam upon you that they declared that you were tamei in regards to truma midrabanan. Why? Lefi shayul hem ma'aros sruchim l'tvila, because their mikvos were very smelly. They weren't good waters in these caves where they went. The kosher mikvos, but the water was smelly. So therefore, la'achar tvila, after the people went to the mikvah, they felt dirty. So hayu rochatzim b'shuvim, so that they took a shower. They washed themselves off from the not-so-clean mikveh water into the cleaner shower water that they poured upon themselves. So you know what people said? V'silu lomar, the Amoratzim said, lo elu mitarin. It wasn't the maros seruchim that made you tar, elo elu mitarin. It was the nice, fresh, clean mayim she'uvim that you poured upon yourself that made you tar. So mistakenly, people might go and say, don't waste your time going to the mikveh, just pour the water on yourself, which of course wouldn't make you tar. And therefore, the rabbis were gozer, the gozer aleihem. They first made the gzeira that if you went to the mikveh and then you had a shower, that you were tamei midrabanan. And then they had to add further, v'shuv gozru ala tar, even on a plain tar person, shenoflu alav shlosh alugah mayim shuvim, they had to make that gzeira as well, because di lo ha, if they didn't institute the second gzeira, lo kai moha, the first gzeira would not have been able to be fulfilled, people wouldn't have listened. So therefore, this is all the gzeira that Rabbi Yirmiyah tells us for the Gemara in Shabbos, that the rabbis instituted, that if shuvim water came upon you, even if you were tar, not that you went to the mikveh, and certainly if you went to the mikveh and you did this, you would be tamei midrabanan, and you'd have to go to the mikveh again. Based upon this, by Rabbi Yirmiyah is the following shaila. What happens if chesyo v'biya, the person took a bath on half his body, so he unfortunately now was in mayim she'uvim, but only half of his body, the chetzo b'nefila, and the other half of his body, the chetzo b'nefila, he poured upon himself like a shower. So basically, the rabbis will go there that if you took a bath with mayim she'uvim or you had a shower with mayim she'uvim, you became tamei midrabanan. So here, if Yirmiyah is questioning what happens if it was half with one, half the other, this is again consistent with our theme of the last part of the shiur. Can you combine two things to go and make, like we did by the get? We said you couldn't combine the takonis hachamim with the basic authentication of a shtar with two witnesses. So here they ask, can you do this in regards to the gzeru the chachamim? If half of it was bath and half of it was shower, do they combine mai and teku? The Gemara doesn't give us an answer. And finally, we end off with another case. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa tells us, Hamayam, the Chachamim said, Balkeri Chola, a Balkeri who is a sick person, so we didn't require him for the Takana to have a Balkeri. The Takana's Ezra, that a person who's a Balkeri had to go to the mikveh before he learned the Davin, so they loosened up the Takana's Ezra and said that a Balkeri who's sick, it would be adequate, Shinasu Allah, Tisha Kabim Mayim Tar. He could become Tar. Again, this is a Takana, and this isn't the way the Halach is Lamaisa, although that's why still people go to the mikveh every day, those that have that custom. But in any event, you're not mechuyev to do so, but the rabbi said that if a person was sick, it would be difficult for him to go to the mikveh, it would be adequate to just put upon him Tisha Kabim Mayim, to pour on him 10 Kabim of water, and that would make him Tar from this Tumah of Keri, in order that he could go learn and daven. So based upon this din, Rapapa now asks the question, by Rapapa, what happens if chetzio b'tvila, if he did half of his body with the tvila, the chetzio b'nesid, and the other half was the nine kabim, the tisha kabim. So can you combine these two methodologies as well? That's a similar question that Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, similar question to what we've been asking in the second part of the shiur today, and the Gemara leaves us off also with the Yiboy, the Lov Shitalei, Teiku. We don't come to a conclusion, but this will conclude our shiur for today. Have a wonderful day.